Yeah, what an awesome time just in the presence of the Lord. I trust that He's spoken to our hearts and to your heart. And thank you, Jan, for sharing that. I believe it speaks to our hearts. And I'll try to be quick. And then, Philip, you can maybe post on Facebook that you finished Sunday morning under 2 hours, and that'll be great, eh? Not 4 or 3, but 2 hours. That'll be a good time. So we're going to try to do that by the grace of God. We've been speaking about being anchored. God spoke to us last year, showed us a vision of an anchor. Very simple, childlike picture. And so we've just been unrolling that. What does it mean to be anchored? And what are you anchored to? What are you anchored to in life? We threw a couple of thoughts around and about what people are anchored to. And the anchors that we do anchor our life to, our hopes to, are they going to withstand? Are they going to hold when the real storms of life come? Johan so beautifully shared about his colleague having probably everything in this life, academically astute, etc. I'm not going to discuss the man. I didn't know him, but let's take an example like that. Somebody that seems like they've got everything made, yet the anchors that, or the anchor that will hold is the one that Johan correctly referred to, the one that is eternal, and also the one that can withstand the tests of this age. And so maybe you can trust the Holy Spirit today again just to speak to you. What are your life anchored to? I said to Kundra, oh, shame, oh, ik voel rechtig voor jou. And he said, I'm all right. He would have done the August Now, or the Cape Cycle Tour this morning, and he said, well, I'm all good. And I just realized, yes, it's something he enjoyed, but he's not anchored to it. Well, today you would have needed some anchors, by the way, but he's not anchored to that, and it does help. God blesses us with all of these things, but it's always a test where you're truly anchored to, and it's within the storm that we get tested. So we've been running through a couple of messages. This is, in fact, the 7th one. Last week, Chris so brilliantly shared just on community and how we can share and then be anchored in community. And we said from the offset, primarily we're anchored in Christ. Christ Jesus, that's it. That's where we start. You go look at Hebrews. We're not going to repeat everything. That is where we start. And then we said we need to be anchored in the Word. We need to be anchored in the Spirit of God, because God said in the New Covenant, I will write my law on your hearts. Not on tablets of stone anymore like I gave to Moses. I will write my law, my instructions on your heart. In other words, He will enable us to will and to do. Today we're going to chat about the fear of the Lord. I'll get to that just now. You can go to the next slide, the one thereafter. Thank you so much. Philippians 2:13 said, for it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to desire and to work out His good purpose. So in other words, religion will tell us, and before in the old covenant, it would have been that we need to squeeze it out. We need to perform these things out of the flesh. Yet as we saw in worship, God comes and He just cleanses our specs. He just cleans our windscreen. He comes and touches our hearts and say, no, 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 I'll enable you. Life with me will come from the inside. It's not the Retief standing there. It's not an old man saying, this is what you have to do. No, we come and commune. We have relationship. If we have that John 3:3 moment where we're born of the Spirit, boom, your eyes are open, and then life, Christianity happens from the inside. Is it all moonshine and roses and easy? No. Christ said there's a cross. You're still going to have a cross, but at least I'm going to give you the petrol. You don't have to do it on your own. And so we looked at that and a couple of other things, and Johan referred to testimonies and the things that God has done in your life. But today I want to speak to us, and I believe the Lord wants to speak to us about the fear of the Lord. It was beautifully actually just echoed by Johan in this week when I said, please pray for my message. This is on my heart. He then said, well, that's exactly the scripture that I've been meditating on. And he referred me to a scripture that I then just threw in here. Let's pray and trust that God opens up our hearts this morning. God, thank you that man's faith will not be based on my words, but your Holy Spirit and power. Thank you that you will personally just come and touch the hearts this morning. Open up our hearts, open up our eyes so that we can just get what you are saying, Lord. We open up our hearts to be lit by the love
the truth and the power of Christ. We pray, Lord, that where this is actually a treasure, that all of us will find this treasure in this time. If not yet, that we'll find it. And if so, and if we have found it, that we'll find more of this. I pray it for each and every family that's part of this congregation, Lord. For the spirit of the fear of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when I say the spirit of the fear of the Lord, what's the first thing that comes up? Be honest. Don't give the perfect religious answer. You can if you want to. Scared. Is that what comes up? You think, but that's actually what comes up. Okay, great. But that's a good answer. Thanks. Sue said scared. Anything else? When I say the spirit of the fear of the Lord, judgment. Hectic. Hell. Can't exactly say it like that, but it does look scary. Hell. Yes. But Mel so clearly said hell. So is hell, judgment, scary. Any other thoughts when I say the fear of the Lord? Maybe that'll help you. Not enough of that. Yama. A stick. Okay, great. Trembling. Positive, negative trembling. A bit of both, yes. I believe that's a godly picture. Anything else? Any last words on the fear of the Lord? Seriousness. Respect, yes. Now, yes, Jan, sorry. Obedience, yes. Let's stop with the positive one. I think that's good. Guys, I can really tell you that it's not that bad. And in fact, I just pray that God will just today come and baptize our definition of this, the fear of the Lord. Because even though it's honest answers, we need to have the exact biblical definition. Not only the biblical definition, but the biblical revelation of what the fear of the Lord is. Because if you go out and you tell somebody about Jesus and they said, "But I read there in your Bible about the spirit of the fear of the Lord. What kind of a dad is that?" Then you'll be able to explain. Because of experience, not mere head knowledge, because of experience of who this God is that says that we need to fear Him. The beauty of that is if you go look at the definition of the fear of the Lord, there's various places in the Old Testament and New Testament where it refers to the fear of the Lord or the spirit of the fear of the Lord. If you go look at the definition of that word fear, you can go to the next slide. Thank you. It is actually all or reverence. It is not that of anxiety or being scared as such. I guess it's like being fearful of the sun. How scared are you really of the sun? It depends how close you get. If I'm an astronaut, I might redefine how scary the sun is, depending on how far this vehicle of mine can operate. But if you go to the beach, yes, you have a reverence. You've got respect for the sun. But you're not scared. You don't tremble. Unless there's something seriously wrong, you don't tremble in your boots and get anxious nightmares about the sun. No, you don't. But if you get pretty close, tararatif. Cheers. Was you bang, was you nie bang, it doesn't really matter. You're gone. You got a bit too close to the sun. And it's almost like that. Loving, love the heat, love, etc. See my wife running. Praise God. Busy. But reverence, I believe, is a beautiful summary. Reverence is a beautiful summary of that. Great. It's part of the lesson. Hello, Edna. Bye, Edna. Lifio, Edna. That's a shofar, and that was not an ad break. Anyway, getting back to the fear. So it's an awe, it's a reverence. Synonyms for reverence is worship, respect, admiration, or devotion. Go like this, please, everybody, just to see that we're awake. Thank you, Lord. This is our definition of fear and the fear of the Lord. God, please come and show us the right definition. Redefine where necessary in our hearts through revelation. The fear of the Lord. Thank you. Amantla. Thank you, guys. Well done. So it's a reverence, it's an awe, it's a respect, a devotion for God. Not hiding. Not like a kid whose father or mother hurts them and hits them in an ungodly way. Even molest or do horrible things to them. No, it's one of a perfect father and a child looking up to them, having reverence and awe and respect and adoration and admiration for a dad. It's actually a beautiful picture. I read that the fear of the Lord is a response to the revelation of God. The fear of God is a response to the revelation of God. In other words, there will be no fear of the Lord in my heart if there's no revelation of who God really is. If I think of is an old guy with a broomstick on a big chair, he's going to hit me if I do something wrong. That's not a true revelation of who he is. And my response accordingly will be there's no fear of the Lord. There's no admiration. There is real fear, the scared one, not admiration, not adoration, not looking up, not awe, not reverence in my heart, but fearful one of running away. So there's a bit of a difference. Please connect in your mind and connect your hearts just with this truth. We'll see now, if you look at the source of this fear, how it differs in the Word of God. But please ask the Lord to help you just to distinguish between the two, because I believe it holds a massive key for us. Normal fear is when we get anxious and when we have absolutely no peace. I remember before I got saved, I would wake up in my hostel in Stellenbosch and I would have had a massive party the last night. Just in other words, succumbing to whatever I could just to feel better about myself and my circumstances. Waking up the next moment, the next morning, sobering up, and then just the anxiety and fear just attacking my whole being again. Until I can just get to the next party and numb that anxiousness, that fear, that scaredness in my heart, that lack of, absolute lack of peace between myself and God. Ek sal dan net weer die pleisters opplak met die volgende party. Until the next morning I wake up with this anxiousness. And it's not the same fear. That is a demonic fear. Now if you look at the Word of God, there's two sources of fear. They can either come from good side or from the bad side. You can go to the next one. First one is demonic. And we need to go test the fear that I experience. Firstly, we see that the fear of the Lord, it's a beautiful definition. Yes, you can tremble before the Lord because He's holy and He's more than the sun. But yet on the other side, there's a demonic fear, one that is not of the Lord. And we see that in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not or had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, if you look at spirit, you go look at the definition, you'll see it's demon or devil in the King James Version. So He did not give us a demonic spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Who of you ever experiences fear, normal fear? Only 18, 20, okay, a couple of us. Yes, we do. It's not ideal, it's not perfect, but what does the Word further say in John? Perfect love drives out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. So here we've got to do with a demonic fear, one that is rooted in evil, one that is rooted in sin, one that kills, steals, and destroys. That is not the fear of the Lord. That is one that is from the enemy. And in one part, you can flesh this out so much more, but we don't have time for that. By the way, if you experience fear, it doesn't mean you're demonically possessed. I don't know if anybody might think that it's not the case, but you can be influenced. If all of a sudden there is break-ins in your street, they break in at night, you become fearful. Firstly, that's not the fear of the Lord. It's one that is demonically influenced. It's something that the enemy comes and whispers to the hearts of men. God is not in control. What if, what if, what this, what if? And then fear arises in your emotions. Now that can be counted what? How? by the word of God, by the truth, by the counter spirit, by the Holy Spirit. Say, no, perfect love casts out all fear. What did God say about us as a family? What did he say about us as us and our property? What does he say in Psalm 91, etc.? And so you battle that demonic lie with the truth of the word, with the sword of the spirit. Does that make sense? Okay, so you're not possessed per se if you experience fear. Please, I don't want that to be thought at all. Yet you can be influenced by that, like you can be influenced by any demonic thing if you're open to it, unfortunately. So that's the fear on the one side. The fear on the other side, the Holy Spirit fear, is the other source in the Word of God that we find, and that is the source which leads to the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Where do I get that from? Let's look at start in Isaiah 61 and we'll jump to Isaiah 11. Isaiah 61, 1 says the following. Yeah, it is a prophetic word about whom? About Jesus Christ, yes. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. So the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Holy Spirit is on me. He said about Jesus to come. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to the opening of the prison to those who are bound. How beautiful is all of that, by the way. The poor fear. The blind may fear. The brokenhearted may fear. By the way, the captives may fear, and those in prison may have fear, demonic fear. But who comes? Christ. Anointed by whom? The Holy Spirit. And he says, no, I bring liberty. I open up eyes. I unlock. I take out of the prison. I make whole the brokenhearted. You can go to the next one. Also about Christ. Isaiah 11:2. And remember this. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. What did we see in Isaiah 61? The Spirit of the Lord is upon him. Upon his, Jesus. The Holy Spirit is upon Jesus. The same Spirit is said about here. Just a bit back in Isaiah 11. The following. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. So it's again the Holy Spirit on Jesus. Say amen. Just to make sure we take that in. The Spirit of... And then comes an explanation of this Holy Spirit. Who's ever heard that the Holy Spirit is also the seven spirits of the Lord? Is there any revelations? Who's heard that? Have you heard that? Out of Revelations, out of Isaiah. Who's ever seen the... At this time, menorah. It's like a very nice candle. How many candles, lights, candle lights does it have? Seven, okay. Revelation speaks of the, how many spirits of the Holy Spirit? The seven again. So it's just a beautiful picture in the Old Testament of the menorah of the seven spirits of the Holy Spirit. Please don't worry too much about it. Just remember, God is showing us this through a picture. The spirit of wisdom and of understanding. So if you have the Holy Spirit, like Christ had the Holy Spirit, this is what it will also entail. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. So Jesus had the Holy Spirit. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit to do amazing things. That Holy Spirit is also referred to as the seven spirits of the Holy Spirit, which includes the spirit of the fear of the Lord. So what spirit will bring forth the spirit of the fear of the Lord in your life? The Holy Spirit. Sorry, it took quite a while to get here, but just to look at the Word, it is important to look at what the Word says and to realize that if we speak about the spirit of the fear of the Lord, I need us to make a very clear distinction. It is not anxiety. It is not one that you run. It's not one where you have to cower and go hide from an ugly father. It is not a father that comes to hurt and hit and drive and molest children. Sorry, I use gross terms, but it's what the enemy has done to fathership and the father heart. He's tried to steal that from the children. And so when you say when you say father, or when you say the spirit of the fear of the Lord, people have a very wrong perception. And so we're just looking at the source. It can either be demonic that leads to fear, or it can be the spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen on that, please? Okay, great. That was a tough part, but it's good that we chat about that firstly and foremostly, that we know where the origin of the spirit of the fear of the Lord is. Who of you guys can say that I have the spirit of the fear of the Lord? I live in that. It's not that type of vibe. I just need to see, do we have a revelation of that? We're going to look at the importance now. If you say, well, I don't, then it's cool. We're going to work on it if you choose. It's like this morning in worship. If you don't think he's the God of wonders, it doesn't change him. It changes you. And we need to change our perspective. So if you say, well, I don't actually have the spirit of the fear of the Lord in my life, then I'm like, okay, cool. Do you want it? I'm like, yeah, I actually do. It's like, give me a bill. Cause market squin. It's as easy as that. God is gracious. And his wave of grace is running through our lives and our hearts. Why do we need, before you go on, please go on back. Don't show that to them now. It's a secret. Why do you want, except for that reason, why do you want the spirit of the fear of the Lord in your life? Any of you guys? Why? Or have you seen the fruit of the spirit of the fear of the Lord in your life? To walk in his freedom? To understand him, to walk in his freedom? Yes, absolutely. Hey? It brings you closer to him. That's the irony. It's beautiful. To grow, yes. Yes. For me, it was also, I said in my notes that to have the spirit of the fear of the Lord is that you actually take his opinion seriously. If I want to know something about trail running, I'll ask Kunrad. He knows about it. Or they know about it. Sorry, excuse me, both of them. Because I trust them. They've got authority in that area. I trust their opinion. They might not ask the same questions of me about trail running for obvious reasons. I have no authority whatsoever. And so you will gauge God's opinion. You'll look up to his opinion if you have that fear, that reverence, that awe for him in your life. Now, let's look at seven things that I just jotted down. It's not a closed list. But seven things which I believe is why we need to have the spirit of the fear of the Lord. We look to scripture. You can go to the next one now. Thank you. Yeah, I know it sucks to go out of church. Sterk te choma. Dit is lekker hier. Firstly, that you know that the spirit of the fear of the Lord is a treasure. Who likes treasures except Sophia? I always ask if a prophetic picture. Wat kan papa vir jou bid? Jewelry is in my heart. Jewelry is in my heart. She just wants jewels, treasures in her heart. Praise God. God will download that. We all want a treasure. If you go chat to an atheist in love and ask, would you like the spirit of the fear of the Lord in your life? They might just either slap you. Imagine having to explain that it is a treasure. But that's the beauty of our God. He doesn't flaunt himself. The good stuff is hidden. The pulls, they are hidden. You need to seek it. In humility, you will find them. Let's look at scripture. It's all in scripture. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Guys, do you want God's treasure? I know it sometimes feels like an upside down kingdom. He hides these things for the meek, for the humble, and say, come, do you want the riches? Do you want that which is eternally valuable? Do you want to have true freedom? He hides the spirit of the fear of the Lord like a treasure. Then the Amplified, it says, the fear of the Lord is your treasure. Imagine telling your kids, hey, papa het nou nie vir jou strandhuis nie, maar ek het vir jou die gees van die vrees van die Here. Now we might laugh at that in our culture. Praise God if they can have both. But just imagine having to be able to give, impart, for your children to inherit the spirit of the fear of the Lord in your life. To see that you've got a reverence and an awe, that God's opinion matters. Not dead religion? No. But living proof, and that they've seen, that they've tasted the fruit of the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Second reason, you can go to the next one, please. Second reason why we need the spirit of the fear of the Lord. It is a compass. It is direction in life, and it's wisdom. Who needs direction? I need a heck of a lot of direction in life. Daily. Not seasonally, daily. Guys, if you want direction in your life, have the spirit of the fear of the Lord in your life. Who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. Guess what? You need a treasure. And that treasure is called the spirit of the fear of the Lord, and can be given to you, imparted to you. It can be opened by the Holy Spirit you already have. To submit your will. To submit your will. Next verse, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We're going to run through a couple of scriptures. Please don't switch off. This is a sword that can come and beautifully just cut between soul and spirit in our hearts. It can dissect truth and lie in our hearts. So please open up your ears and heart for the word of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. So if you want wisdom, if you really want to be wise, you can't have that without the spirit of the fear of the Lord. What is that again? It's to have a reverence for the Lord. To have an awe for Him. To trust Him. To look up to Him and none other. A third key, or a third thing, a third reason why we need the spirit of the fear of the Lord, is it's a key to unlock His goodness and blessing. Again, I'm going to refer back to worship. God of wonders. If He's not the God of wonders, the chances are that maybe the spirit of the fear of the Lord have gotten lost in our hearts. If I can't see His goodness anymore, if I can't see the blessing of God, the goodness of God anymore, maybe the spirit of the fear of the Lord has just gotten lost in my heart. You can go to the next one. Thank you. Let's look at scripture. Who wants to see God's goodness? Who's ever... Wie al ooit getwyfel oor God se goedheid? Be honest, guys. Kom. Ons almal. We've gone through things that we think, well, hectic. How can this be? Be honest. But if you want the goodness of God to be unlocked, here's the keys, again in scripture. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, for those who respect you, adore you, have admiration for you, look up to you, have reverence for you, those who worship you, those who say, hey, you're my God and I follow you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men. Psalm 112:1, one of my favorite songs. Praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Who greatly delights in His commandments. You want to be blessed? You want to see His goodness? That's where it is at. That's where it is at. And then lastly, He will bless those who fear the Lord. The small together with the great. That's a beautiful key for me, and I've just seen it in my life. That the more I trust Him, the more I revere Him, the more I take heed to His opinion, the more I reap the goodness. And sometimes in this world, unfortunately, I want to see your goodness first, and then I'll bow my knee. Just show me the money first, and then I'll do this. I want to see that God is good, and then I'll follow Him. Yes, sometimes He's gracious to do that. But the beauty is that the more you sow, in adoration, in reverence, and saying, I'm not worthy, the more He just opens Himself up to us. And He blesses us with that goodness. Don't let hurt, guys, don't let hurt come and steal from you. Don't let hurt and past hurts and disappointment come and steal this from us. The fourth reason, who wants riches, honor, and a long life? And be honest. Who wants riches, honor, and a long life? Thanks, Heather. Just sit down, please. Joke. There was actually other hands that was quicker than that. But that was good. riches, honor, and a long life. That sounds kind of good. Again, it's not only promised here, it's elsewhere in Scripture as well. Guess what opens up riches, honor, and a long life? Proverbs 22:4 says, the reward of humility, I repeat, humility, and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Riches, honor, and life. Yeah, well, we've been struggling in poverty for 3 decades now. Ask God to open up your heart again to fear Him, to revere Him, to truly follow Him, to respect Him as who He is, a consuming fire, a holy God. Yes, a loving Father. Yes, an Abba Father, but a holy God. One to fear. And you'll reap the fruit of it. Fifth one is, it keeps us safe and healed. It keeps us safe and healed. Stuff is going ahead. As I used the previous example, if things are happening down in your street that is not cool, the fear of the Lord will keep you safe. If sickness breaks out, just come back to this place and say, Lord, healing. Psalm 33, 18 and 19. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope for His loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. If famine should strike the land, if an economic issue should arise globally or in our country, if the markets get thrown over, what's going to happen? What happens if the property market falls? God says He will keep us safe if we've got the spirit of the fear of the Lord. What happened when we didn't have a salary? When I didn't have that nice career I was banking on? All of a sudden, by God's grace, He led me to a place of the spirit of the fear of the Lord. He kept us safe. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and rescues them. Do you want to be safe? Do you want to be physically, mentally, spiritually safe, you and your family? The key is the spirit of the fear of the Lord, to look to Him. Psalm 85, we're almost through our seven keys. Surely His salvation is near those who fear Him. And then lastly, the Proverbs 3:7, that's such a brilliant one as well. Be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will bring healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. That's good authority for healing. You're struggling with sickness, health issues. Say, Lord, is there a place lacking where the spirit of the fear of the Lord is not in my heart? Please bring me to that place. Please give me a revelation so that healing may come. Let's go to the sixth month. Who would like to have a long life and who would like some rest? Any takers? 4, 6. Yes. There's another one. Dankie Gerard. I've got an answer for you. Long life and rest. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. There's long life to be promised in the fear of the Lord. Now, obviously, you need to stand on the scripture. You need to make it your own. And whenever the enemy comes and knocks at your door and tries the inverse, you'll need to know what your right is. You need to take up authority and stand and say, no, scripture says the following. God has promised this over me and my house. And I listen to His report, none other. But when that moment comes, you need to stand up. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. Struggling to sleep? I would really suggest the fear of the Lord. Works like a charm. Obviously, God will then in His wisdom tell you if there's anything else, anything lacking. He will drop it. I know Edna couldn't sleep. She had some issues. She just couldn't switch off. She couldn't sleep. But then we turn to the Lord. What do you do when you have the fear of the Lord? You turn to God. You ask Him. You don't ask Google first, or the very friendly doctor first. You ask God first. You turn to Him. You fear Him. You listen to His opinion. And He just dropped, I think it was Easter or something, or something He dropped in my spirit. I didn't even know, had a clue about what it was about. I told her and she said, well, that makes sense. It's the second time this week I heard that supernaturally. She started to take some pills and she slept like a baby through the spirit of the fear of the Lord and scripture. Last one, seventh one, from Johannes 1. Why do we want the spirit of the fear of the Lord in our life? Why do we want to revere God? Why do we want to follow Him? Because it unlocks love. Remember, He always loves us. It's not a matter of having to deserve it. He always loves you. It is again a case of us not being able to see. But the fear of the Lord unlocks our hearts and eyes just to realize, wow, He loves us. I'm going to read through that scripture. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. As Father shows compassion to His children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. How beautiful. We are dust. It just brings true perspective. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to the children's children. Guys, He has promises in here for you that you receive, that you unlock by having the reverence, the awe, the fear of the Lord in your life. And please, I can just sense that you guys are thinking, how am I going to get that? Lord, I want that. We're going to deal with it. Scripture helps us again. To those who keep His covenant and remember His commandments. What is the two, in other words, those seven things, what is the spirit of the fear of the Lord do in our lives? I believe it brings true perspective. Have you seen how differently people think of life and how differently they can see something? It is just crazy how vastly different people's worldviews can be. What is important? Either myself, me, how I operate, how I look, what I do, what is important to one person is not always important to the other. And what the spirit of the fear of the Lord does, it gives you godly vision. It gives you true perspective. That's all it does. It makes your bril skoon. It washes your windscreen so that you can see, so that you can look with eternal eyes and not with ones that are short-sighted and in the flesh. And then there's another big why. Why should we have the spirit of the fear of the Lord? And I believe in our culture this is quite important. What stands on the opposite many a times of the fear of God? The fear of man. Who's ever suffered the fear of man? It's like a chronic disease. I don't know why we do this thing. But we are so fixated about what people think and their opinions about us. And you can walk into a shop, you can go to the rugby, wherever you go, you dress up and you think, well, what are people going to think? What are they going to think? And everybody walks in there. What are they going to think? What are they going to think? And you just keep on thinking, what's other people going to think about you? And that's what everybody does. They don't really think too much about each other. That's the irony. And God says, no, man, come. Come, skit hierdie nonsense uit. Kom, vryheid. Come, freedom. Come, I take you to a place of freedom. Ask me, what am I saying? How am I defining you? What am I saying about this? Just come and ask me. What am I saying about your identity? Come and seek my opinion. Ja, but Lord, what say you? No, relax. Come, sit in my council. Come and ask me. Come and have a reverence for my opinion about you. And you'll worry less about what other people think. You have two options when you are faced with oppositions. Fear God or fear man. Fear God or fear man. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you come with conviction in our hearts that we can just be free. Lord, there's different areas that you will bring freedom today and in the season. But thank you that you just speak to us now. There's no condemnation whatsoever. There's love and grace. But you come and judge the fruit that is not of you. And we just say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at this beautiful proverb. The next slide, please. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. The fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. What is the fear of man? Can anybody explain to me the fear of man? Before we go to the next slide, anybody can explain to me the fear of man? Yes. Amen. It's when somebody's opinion or thought about you is more important than God's thoughts about you. Or in fact, I want to go a bit further. It's when somebody's opinion or people's opinion and thoughts about you validate you and not what God says validates you. Who of you want to be validated? Who of you want to feel important? Who of you want to have an identity? We all seek it. Come, be honest. That's so much part of who we are. You might tell me, oh, I don't want to. That's actually fear of man talking. Yes, you do. Be honest. It's actually divinely, I believe, that we've been made like that so that what our hearts actually love will clearly be shown. That's a bit deep, maybe for a later stage. I read in an article the following definition. You can go to the next slide, please. The fear of man is being more impressed with man's reaction to our actions than with God's reaction. That's bondage. I'm going to repeat that. The fear of man is being more impressed with man's reaction to our actions than with God's reactions. That's bondage. When we have the fear of God upon us, we are impressed only with God's reaction. We are freed from the concern of what people think. That's freedom. That's release. That's great relief. Who would like that? Just want to give context. This is not saying that you should not be cognizant, think of, be loving and being kind to other people. It's not a screw you type of attitude either. But it's one where what you think of me will not validate and define me. In how many families you see that? In how many friendship circles you see? How many churches? How many fellowships do you see that? What you think of me needs to validate and give me identity, and that is nonsense, hogwash, it's not true. What determines your value? I want to ask you guys, what determines your value? What really, if you do, let's not be all religious, let's not be Facebooky here, but what truly gives you value? That you're a child of God. I mean, that was a good second row church answer. But I know that's the truth. If it's not, it's also fine. We're working at it. That's why we're dealing with these matters. But what gives you value and what defines you? And I'm not saying I've got this all sorted out. Please, let me be the first one to say that. The moment I usually think I've got this one nailed, it's just 10 minutes later and I'm in a situation, I face a situation, I feel rejected, and I just realize, well, that's so not over. There's a great place. Parents-in-law is a good litmus test many a times in my life. Well, it was much more. When you go through a stage like Momus where you don't have employment, you say no to other jobs, you're struggling to get by in the world's terms, then a great litmus test is the in-laws. That's a great place to be tested if you still have the fear of man or the fear of God. I would really suggest that you're more than welcome to try. I wrote here that what you fear will be your God. Listen closely. What you fear will be your God. Now, in this context, we're speaking people, opinions of people. If you fear money, it will be your God. If you fear that you will feel shame, it can become your God. If you fear the opinions of man, the actions and reactions of man, it will become your God. You obey the one you fear. Now remember fear, there's a distinction in the definition. It can either be negative or positive. Only positive when coming to God, but unfortunately negative when it comes to man and other things. You will obey what you fear. The persons to whom we ascribe most authority to define who we are, what we're worth, what we should do, and how we should do it is the persons we fear the most. Because it's the persons whose approval we want most. When I got saved, when I got born again, and this is the price, part of the price, but it wasn't, if I look back now, it wasn't a price at all. I think we mentioned it to George and Tish the other morning. I think I had like 50 great, great, great buddies in Stellenbosch. Like close, it felt like close guys. It felt like they'll take a bullet for you. They probably wouldn't have, but it felt like that. Great drinkpelle, and it was just, that was the biggest thing I fear, to lose these friends, these friendships. And what I've learned is that, and how much that defined me. It defined me to such a degree that their opinions made so much of the worth and validation of my life that it took me quite a while that God had to break me through that. And today I can truly and honestly say that I've not really lost anything. Those ones that I should have kept, I did. Wasn't much. It was actually very few. But those of eternal value, I actually kept. But it came at a price. What are the ones that you maybe are struggling with? Whose reward of approval is very important to you in your life? Is God's reward of approval important to you? Or standers by, or those friends that like your stuff on Facebook, or the opinions of people at work or in your friendship circle? And how do I get out of that? You're not going to become rude. You're not going to lose the friends. You're not going to say, I'm not going to be a friend anymore. You just need to get to a place where you say, Lord, I'm being honest with you. My community or those around me are defining me much more than you are. I'm being validated not by the Word, not by the Holy Spirit. I'm being validated by my culture. And God, just, I want to be free from that. I just want to be free from that. And we're going to pray shortly, and then we're going to trust the Lord that He just comes and take that bondage off our lives. That was a big reason, I believe, that we need to look at the spirit of the fear of the Lord, so that we can do this audit. And then lastly, how do I obtain, or how do I unlock the spirit of the fear of the Lord in my life? What do I do? We look at Scripture. Let's quickly look. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Today you have given a lot of word. Today you've been given treasure. If this is truly important to you and you take it, this is what's going to happen. Making your ear attentive to wisdom. Actually deciding, I'm going to listen. And inclining your heart to understanding, saying, Lord, please come and help my heart to understand the stuff that we're saying today. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. Are any of you guys desperate to shout out to God for the spirit of the fear of the Lord? And please, this is not a test. Have you listened to what I said, or have this impressed you? No, that is, I couldn't care less about what I've said. What is important is that we catch the substance of the message. It's a choice of heart. Are you willing to shout out? To actually say, I don't care what any of you think. I want this more than silver and gold. If you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasure. Bianca, like it's up a sale. I like something on a sale. A sale is good. I'll seek something out that is 50% or 60%. I'm quite eager for silver and gold that will kind of help us most of the time. I like a bonus. I like a blessing. We all do. Who doesn't like a good deal? Come on. We like a good deal, guys. Heather, we like a good deal, don't we? But even more than a good deal. Don't know why, but as I saw Stevie, tickets to the rugby. A good match. Maybe not a block match at this stage, but we like these things. We seek them out. But guys, let's trust the Lord that we can seek and search these like hidden treasures. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. What are the five things I just wrote down? Firstly, be a son. You're a believer. You're born again, as Imran said. Secondly, you receive God's word and you actually take it to heart. You say, these things said in the word of God, I take it as truth. You incline your ear. I heard Derek Prince say the following. He said, if you incline your ear, if I say, hey Lindy, what did you say? It's quite difficult. Well, she's sitting, but even if she's standing, it's quite difficult not to also bow my head when I incline my ear. It's funny. Try it. Come. Let's just see who's awake. Incline your ear. Ach, come on, Owens. Yes, cool. Kom, Peter, nee, dis die coolie. Hy is bang hy rok wakker. If you incline your ear, funny enough, you bow your head. How beautiful is that picture of humility? God says, incline your ear. There's a matter of humility. If he says, my son, listen to me, incline your ear. Spit your word. I need your humility. You need to be humble to catch this. Then you call out. You pray. How are we going to ask for the spirit of the fear of the Lord? We're going to pray. And then you search. You seek it. It's maybe not a once-off. It's a treasure. Like you'll go and hunt that bargain or that sale. Likewise, I believe Scripture says that we will need to seek it. Then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. Will you stand with me, please? Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's the sword of the Spirit. I thank you for these beautiful people in their hearts that are hungry for you. I thank you for the spirit of the fear of the Lord that is already in our midst and in our hearts. But thank you that we can acknowledge it. We can all grow in this. Thank you, God, that you redefine fear, the fear of the Lord, one of reverence and awe, Lord. And we know it can only happen, not by my words, not by one sermon. It can happen by a revelation of who God is. It's to think that He is a flashlight and then you run into the sun. God, I pray that our hearts will run into the sun this morning. God, this is a message I believe truly that is not taught, it is caught. Guys, Lord, open up our eyes that we can catch this in our spirit. This is supernatural, Lord. This is not the ability of man to unlock for man. This is only Christ, His Spirit, that can unlock the true spirit of the fear of the Lord amongst God's people. I pray for that. I knock for that. I seek. I shout out. More than silver and gold, Lord, this is what I pray for this people, Lord. That we will, that our children, that our families, that our marriages will truly know the spirit of the fear of the Lord. In Jesus' name. With all eyes closed, just if you want this treasure, just put up your hand. I'm going to be quick. Just in honesty. If you want this treasure, thank you, God. You see the hands. They want the treasure. They want this treasure, Lord. For some of us, I ask the grace that you'll just drop it on our laps because you love us. But we know according to Scripture, we can also seek, Lord. And then if the Lord has convicted you this morning, just that you fear other stuff and hence you unfortunately obey it. People's opinions about you, your car, your house, your looks, your income, your whatever it might be. But if fear is calling you to a place where you obey the false validations, the false opinions of man and of things, again, just come and repent it before the Lord. Just say sorry in your own words. God, I just repent fear of man. Where the validation and opinions of people and culture is sometimes more important than the word, the definition, and the rhema truth of you over my life. I repent and I say thank you, Lord, that you bring the truth through your Holy Spirit. And like we prayed in the first prayer for the treasure, if you just say, Lord, come and unlock the fullness of the spirit of the fear of the Lord in my life. Just again, if you may, just raise your hand. And Lord, take away the spirit of the fear of man. Just again, raise your hand and we're just going to pray. God, thank you that you walk this out in different ways, in different lives. But thank you that you see hearts. That's all that matters. You see hearts. You see willing hearts as sons and daughters saying, I incline my ear, Father. I incline my ear. I bow my head. I say, thank you, your word is true. Come and have your way in my life and bring my heart and my soul, my spirit to a revelation of who you are. So that you will not be a flashlight in my life, but you will be brighter than the sun, a consuming, burning fire that I can truly fear with reverence, awe, in love, in Jesus' name. And if that is your prayer towards God this morning, you can just say amen. Amen with me. Amen. Cool, guys. If there's some of you that maybe around fear, if you really get anxious, or even around fear of man, you really so defined your life up until this stage, and you would like some prayer afterwards, come and let's pray. Because usually it's just connected with shame and fear. Shame and fear operates together, and that's what happened to Adam and Eve. And we can just ask that Jesus comes and he disclothes you. But I just want to extend the invitation, and then other than that, please have coffee. It was good to see you guys, and have an awesome week. And we trust that God will work this out in our lives. All right, God bless.